not rendering evil for evil, but contrariwise blessing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today's Mass, particularly so this fifth Sunday after Pentecost, is full of blessings, but every Mass is. You know, the meaning of the word so often is taken from the Latin. To bless means bene dicere, literally to speak well. And so when we speak well of God, when we praise him for his goodness and his perfections, that is to bless our Lord, as we sang in the Gloria this morning, benedicimus te. To speak well to God for ourselves and for others for whom we pray is to draw down God's graces, his goodness upon us and them, to bless them. We do that sometimes just by saying, God bless you. And then blessings, too, are conferred by the making of something holy, the use of the sign of the cross. The bread and the wine of the offertory are blessed many times to make them holy so that they can become the body and the blood of our Lord. We bless ourselves during Mass, don't we? When Father makes the sign of the cross, you do over yourself, and then the little ones too, at the beginning of the Gospel. St. Peter today, though, in today's epistle, tells us that we should be a blessing to each other. Bless people. Don't curse them. Bless them, he insists, and tells us that if we suffer persecution for justice's sake, that's a blessing for us. And then in the offertory, we sing, I will bless our Lord because he gives me understanding. I'd like you to understand, first of all, today, about the benefits of blessing, and one blessing in particular. Have any of you been following the Have a Blessed Day controversy? You know how that U.S. bank teller in Walton, Kentucky, was fired just for saying Have a Blessed Day. Now that's, as comments go, that's a pretty general one, and it wouldn't even necessarily have to be interpreted, I suppose, in a religious sense, but they knew, the politically correct officers of the bank knew, and it was nothing doing. The poor lady lost her job. But I was thinking how wonderful it would be. So there you are this evening for an emergency shopping trip, or this week, the next time you have to go to the stores. You're standing in some soulless store or bank, and you're surrounded by people, some good and some bad, but all of them in various degrees of undress, and you're under the glaring bright lights, and then there's blaring music to match, really offensive sometimes. And then, at the end of your transaction, the renvoi. Soothing words, gentle. What a blessing that would be. By curious coincidence, Father Chicada has had some business of late with our local U.S. bank branch here in Westchester over a mission account. And he found them to be, he tells me, just as inefficient as the federal government. Banks, they get to take your money and make mistakes, and you pay for it, and they answer to nobody. There's some sort of a form that needed to be filled out for this mission account, and Father filled it out once, they lost it, and a second time, and they lost it. So for the third time, this week, he tells me he's going to staple it to a piece of cardboard and put a cover letter with it really big so that maybe they won't lose it the third time. But do you know what his first impression was when he went to the U.S. Bank office here in Westchester? It was a bad one before he ever tried to do business with them. It was made by the slatternly women working there, all of them indecently dressed. And in that sort of an aggressive, in-your-face manner that used to characterize only women who did this sort of thing for a living. But now, everywhere, in banks and stores, and even, I think, at churches sometimes, You will see that. Now, these bank employees still have their job, of course, in spite of their inefficiency and, of course, the indecency. But Nancy Pierce in Walton, she lost hers for a quiet word of whispered blessing. But you don't expect a blessing when you go into a bank, do you? You'll be lucky if you get out without being gouged too badly by the usury now a part of our lives, or by some worker's careless stupidity. But church is different. It oughtn't to be so. The priest shouldn't be the only one, or the bishop, to give a blessing. Now, you do bless yourself, as we've seen in the course of the Mass, but your presence here, your comportment, and that of your children, and yes, your dress, all of these things should be a blessing. And by that I mean some gentle, refreshing, soothing, safe setting, a break in the brutal world's in-your-face ways, a build-up, that's what edifying means, not a drag-down, not a distraction to others, and certainly not a temptation. I was reflecting recently on how marvelously well all of the men of our St. Gertrude the Great Church have cooperated with our dress code, and how almost all of you now wear a jacket and a tie to Sunday Mass. So much so, someone commented, that all you see of the men is their hands and their face. The Taliban themselves couldn't complain about that kind of modesty. But the irony is this: men are more troubled and women are more degraded by immodest women's dress than vice versa. Of course, and you know this, that you need to come to church dressed modestly, the business about the low cut and the rest of it. To come to church low cut and shrink wrapped, you're not a piece of meat in the Kroger meat department. You're a temple of, and a child of God. And you shouldn't be showing too much of the arms and too much of the legs and all of the rest of it. And what is the thing now with the new fashion of women having to show the tops of their breasts? And I've noticed it more and more, and I think it's considered quite acceptable in most circles. Well, it's not acceptable in God's circle and in God's house. Have you no shame? I told someone recently, when I lean over to give you Holy Communion, I don't want to see your breasts. I don't need to. Clothing should conceal, and it should not reveal. Now, well and good, I give my annual stern sermon and my warning from the pulpit, and maybe it might make a difference. But I'll tell you this, unless there's something at home from the parents, unless the mothers get with the daughters, and unless girls have the grace of older sisters, at least in some honorary sense, to whom they might look up in this matter, these will be just words. Because to little girls, especially in today's world of make-believe on television and movies and what they see all about them all week long, revealing attire easily becomes synonymous with glamour, with femininity, with beauty, with being grown up and all dressed up. Your task, mothers, is to insert a Christian outlook here, to help your daughters, by word and by example, to understand that modesty does not detract from femininity. It enhances beauty. Girls know this by instinct. If their sense of modesty isn't destroyed at an early age, but sometimes the world in which they live is such that sadly it is. If only little girls had older sisters, in some sense, to look up to with admiration, and she would think to herself, I'd like to be like her. What a huge step forward that would be for all of us. Why is there such indecency today? Why is the temple of God, or at least the potential dwelling place of the Holy Ghost, so offended against? Well, because the devil always tries to tamper with the temple. If he sees one in good working order, he's not going to rest content until he tries to mess it up. He does that with every good and every right and every holy thing, and that's his job. But you're a Christian, and you know what your job is as well. And this is why we are careful to dress modestly and never suggestively. Not because there's anything wrong with the human body, or if God gave you a beautiful figure. No, God designed the body, but for some good, holy, and specific purpose. The devil will get in, and he'll try to make others sin, you see, with their eyes and with their thoughts. So we have to do our part, all of us, in guarding this purity, the purity of others as well as our own. And this is how you could be, on Sunday morning, but all week long, really, a blessing wherever you go. I was telling the girls this week, it was her feast day on Wednesday, first day of the camp, about a wonderful modern saint, the martyr of purity, Saint Maria Goretti. Don't look back now, because as I was telling the girls, we never turn around in church. But as you leave church today, you'll see over the organ on that tall pillar our new statue of Saint Maria Goretti. She lived from 1890 to 1902 in Italy. Poor, very poor, the daughter of sharecropping farmers. She was so poor, she and her siblings, that you might say they had no clothing, but they never dressed immodestly. When the time came for her first communion, she was 11, she received the only dress new that had ever been given to her. It wasn't a white one, they couldn't arrange that. It was wine-colored with white polka dots. And then a neighbor lady gave her shoes to wear to church. They didn't have shoes. And then another gave a veil, and a third made a wreath of flowers. After her first Holy Communion, this girl, Maria Goretti, made a long thanksgiving talking to our Lord. And when she came out of church, she was so saddened that one of the other girls of the First Communion class was talking to a boy out there and joking about things immodestly. She told her mother, was named Assunta, what she had heard, and her mother said to Maria, "Those words should never be listened to nor repeated." And Maria said, "No, mother, I would rather die." And it was prophetic, for so she did, in the defense of holy purity. Help, never hinder your neighbor in this matter. It's hard enough as it is. Be a blessing for everyone and for yourself wherever you go, whether it be in the bank or at the banquet of Holy Communion. If you go to the rail to receive worthily this morning, what a blessing that is to have our Lord physically present within you for a few precious moments. But remember, you're taking him home with you today, and it starts there, at home, modesty, purity, if ever it's going to be seen in the schools and the stores and the banks and the churches. And all of this, think of it, you don't need to say a word. You've already said it, and it's a word of blessing. Have a blessed day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.